Hello, testing 1, 2. Good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We'll start from verse 43. I'm happy to be back today, joining you for the service. I was last week with my wife's family. We were celebrating the death anniversary of my wife's grandfather and grandmother, both. Yeah, some kind of special dual hoji ceremony. So, thankful to Pastor Kevin for filling the pulpit last week. So, grateful for his message on Psalm 96. So, today, we're looking at Matthew chapter 5, starting from verse 43. One of the most famous words of Jesus Christ. So, let me read from verse 43, and please join me at verse 46. This is Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Let's read together. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me read you a poem. We are followers of Christ. What are you? Christ says you gotta love folks, even though they're fake too. Your love is measured by the hate you can love through. And if Christ is at the cross for the same ones who put him there, died for his killers, then he can love you. The truth hurts, but it does work. Until you meet him, you can never know your true worth. You can hate me, but you will get no hate back. No hate back. You can hate me, but you will get no hate back. No hate back. All the hate in the world won't make me a hater. A born sinner, I came with a flaw. Trying to see the light, I was raised in the dark. We came for the loss, but he paid on the cross. I'm a servant of the king, and I work for the cause. I'm hated when I'm paid, hated when I'm broke. They're hating my faith, hating on my folks. I see them drowning in the middle of the ocean, and when I come to help, they start hating on my boat. You can hate me, but you will get no hate back. No hate back. You can hate me, but you will get no hate back. No hate back. All the hating in the world won't make me a hater. All the hating in the world won't make me a hater. Your love is measured by the hate you can love through. If Christ is at the cross and died for his killers, then he can love you. You can hate me, but you get no hate back. Jesus says, love your enemies. St. Paul says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. They can hate you, but you must not hate back. Do not return evil for evil. They get no hate back. All the hating in the world won't make you a hater. Amen? So, I got that from a song by an artist named Bizzle. Yeah, you can look him up. It's B-I-Z-Z-L-E, and his song is called No Hate Back. And yeah, whenever I read these words of love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, do not return evil for evil, but overcome evil for good, I always go back to this song. It's more catchy when I hear the message. All the hating in the world won't make me a hater. So, yeah, interesting song. I like it very much. Jesus is talking about love, and we are talking about the heart and soul of the Christian message. This is what makes you a Christian or not. How do you know that you truly follow Jesus Christ? How do you know? It's how you respond to aggression, attack, opposition, and conflict. Now, let's be very clear on verse 45. He says, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. I want to be as clear as crystal. This does not provide your salvation. This does not purchase your ticket to heaven. This proves your salvation. It shows your citizenship. So let me put it this way. If you can be kind to your neighbors, it doesn't matter. God does not accept you on the basis of your kindness to others. What Jesus is saying here is that you have been accepted. You are a child of God. You are a co-heir with Christ. You have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness. You've been put into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Therefore, you can love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You show that you are a child of God by the way you respond to the children of the devil. Your love for your enemies proves your love for God. So, Jesus talks about those who persecute you. So, let's take a look at those who persecute us. Grace mentioned in her prayer today of those who are persecuted. And this was not talking about the first century. This talks about even this century. So this came from an article in Christianity Today, 2023, January 17th. And you can see there's a list of countries on the left. It's where Christians face the most violence. And the list on the right is where churches are attacked or closed the most. So while you look at that, let me just read for you a passage from the article. More than 5,600 Christians were killed for their faith in 2022. More than 2,100 churches were attacked or closed. More than 124,000 Christians were forcibly displaced from their homes because of their faith. And almost 15,000 became refugees. Sub-Saharan Africa, the epicenter of global Christianity, is now also the epicenter of violence against Christians. Islamic extremism continues to cause the most persecution. 31 countries, especially in sub-Saharan Africa, where Nigeria will soon trigger a vast humanitarian catastrophe across the continent. Researchers also noted how China has increased digital restrictions and surveillance and is forging a network of nations seeking to redefine human rights. A Latin American country, Nicaragua, entered the list as authoritarian governments increasingly view Christians as voices of opposition. Here's the map. Violence against Christians is most extreme in Nigeria, where militants from the Fulani, Boko Haram, Islamic State West Africa Province, and others conduct raids on Christian communities, killing, maiming, raping, and kidnapping for ransom or sexual slavery. This year has also seen violence spill over into the Christian majority south of the nation. Nigeria's government continues to deny this is religious persecution. So violations of Christians' rights, are carried out with impunity. Africa's most populous nation, ranked number one in subcategories of Christians killed, abducted, sexually assaulted or harassed, forcibly married, or physically or mentally abused, as well as ranked number one in homes and businesses attacked for their faith-based reasons. Again, it ranked number two in the subcategories of church attacks and internal displacement. Violations of religious freedom in Nigeria are emblematic of a rapidly growing Islamist presence in sub-Saharan Africa. Jesus says, love them. When they close your business and close your church, love them. When they take you out of your home to kidnap you and ransom you, love them. When they sexually harass you and abuse you, love them. That's how you know you are a Christian. The way that you respond. Well, I mean, Pastor Chris, that's across an ocean, hours by flight, sub-Saharan Africa. What does that have to do with me here? I don't face persecution. I don't face hate. The worst I get is maybe dislike. Negative words. So, here's what I would like you to do in obedience to Christ this week. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. After that, maybe this evening or this morning, I want you to identify the person in your life who occupies your negative thoughts. Who is the person or the people whom, when you think of them, your blood pressure goes up. You begin to get negative emotions. You associate them with negative situations and words. Who are those people? I want you to think about them. And before you pray for yourself, and before you pray for your family or your loved ones, put them at the top of your prayer list. Yeah. I did that this week, just so I could say that today. Before you pray for blessings for yourself and the people you love, pray for them. Well, how should you pray for them? That brings us to number two. Jesus says, don't just show your love, but love them practically. Give them practical love. So there's the part where Jesus says about God giving sun to shine on the good and the evil, and the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. The evil and the unrighteous, those who don't care about God. Not only do they not care about God, they're unrighteous, they oppose God. So even if there was a God, they would stand against him. They're the evil ones. And Jesus says, yeah, those are the enemies of God. And how does God treat his enemies? He gives them sunshine and rain. Why does God, or why does Jesus say sunshine and rain? What does that mean? So let's leave Hiroshima. Get out of the roads and the trains and the buildings and the streets. Go out into the countryside. Let's go back to the first century where there's no factories and no companies. There's farms and vineyards. And what do you need the most in order to grow crops and to raise food? You need sunshine and rain. Without those two things, you will have no harvest, you cannot make bread, and you cannot live. And God treats his enemies with so much grace and love, he allows them not only to survive, he allows them to harvest, to grow, to bear fruit. He allows them to flourish. That's how God treats his enemies, the unrighteous and the evil. He provides for their practical needs. What? We were singing, "How great is our God?" And all the time we think, how great is our God, because he took me and he loved me and he rescued me and he blessed me and he provides for me and he gives, right? But how great is our God that he sends sunshine and rain even upon his enemies, practically providing for their needs. So who are those who treat you badly? Who are those who misbehave against you, who disrespect you, who dishonor you, who backstab you, who speak against you, who act against you? Do they need medicine? Do they need a ride? Do they need cash? Do they need something practically that will help them live? Love your enemies. That's how you know you're a follower of Christ and a child of God. So, how can you pray for them? Because maybe you're not going to meet them. You're not going to see if they need a ride or some cash. They're not going to come to you for some medicine, practically. So here's how you'll pray for them this week. At the top of your prayer list, you'll say something like this. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on so-and-so. Bless them, Lord. Help them to flourish in their work and in their home. If they have health needs, please heal them. Please give them comfort and peace. If they have financial needs, provide for them, O God, according to your riches and grace. God, if they're having issues in their family, help them succeed in reconciling with their family and friends. O God, help them to have a good life this week, today, this evening. Now, of course, you're praying for their repentance. Of course you're praying for God to get them and to show them how wrong and terrible they are. Of course you're praying for that. Read the Psalms. Read how David and the sons of Korah are saying, God, wake up! Why are you sleeping? Oh Lord, rouse yourself. Why do you forget our affliction and our oppression? The Psalms are brutally honest to God, complaining about how miserable they're being oppressed and afflicted. That's how you pray for yourself, and you're honest with God, but at the same time, you ask your Lord, bless them, O God. Practically, send your rain and your sunshine upon them. Yeah, ooh, I know. I'm not getting a lot of amens. I don't even feel an amen coming my way. But it's okay. I know Jesus. I think this... Ouch, okay, I'll get the ouch. All right, that's fine. I'll take that. Let's finish up. Finally, it's not only proving love, practical love, but Jesus is talking about perfecting love, where he says at the bottom, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. But before that, he talks about these tax collectors and these pagans in our translation. So I looked those words up. Tax collectors, for those you're probably familiar, tax collectors were Jews who were working for the Romans. And they were receiving taxes, grafting, shaving, just taking for them whatever they wanted and giving the rest to Rome. They were corrupt. And Jesus was saying they're the worst of the worst. They're the slime, the sludge. Right? And he's saying, if you are kind to those who are kind to you, you're no better than the worst people in the world. That's what he's saying, right? What good is that? To return kindness for kindness, love for love. Even the worst people do that, the tax collectors. And then he talks about the word here, pagan. Now, the translation for our scripture that we use is pagan. So the word there is ethnikos in Greek. It's where we get our word ethnic or ethnic group, right? And other ways that other translations use is Gentile. So there's two groups that Jesus is talking about. He says, if you greet only those who look like you, talk like you, think like you, you're no better than the outsider. So he's saying, your love is less than average. He's saying what you need is perfect love. So he's saying that if you love those who love you and greet those who greet you, if you're only kind to those who are kind to you, if you agree with those who agree with you, if you're on Facebook and all you get are posts and articles and videos of the people who have the same views, the same politics, the same economics, the same religion, who don't disagree with you, you're just like everybody else. In fact, you're just like the worst of the worst. No, don't be like that. Be perfect like your Father. Well, I'm not perfect. Yeah. That's why you need to love your enemies. Because you are a child of God. You are not a child of the devil. So show that you are a child of God by loving the children of the devil. It's perfecting love. I was reading this morning. Paul says this in Colossians. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Lord, I can't do this. It's too hard. It's bitter. It's painful. I can't change. I'm not perfect. Exactly. Exactly. Therefore, all the more. All the more. Fight the bitterness. Fight the pettiness. Fight the revenge in your heart. Die to yourself and live to Christ. And he would not tell you to do this if he knew you could not do it. But instead, he knows you can do it. How? Because if you follow him, who has done it, he will give you the power to do it. He himself understands what it means to love his enemies. On the cross, he says, "Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do." His own enemies. God himself knows what it means to die for his enemies, because you and I were his enemies. What does it say in Romans? While we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son. God loved his enemies because God loved us and made us his own children. So you can hate me, but you will get no hate back. All the hating in the world will never make me a hater, because I am a child of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, please remove the bitterness and the anger and the vengeance in our hearts. Please fill us with your love that forgives, provides, and prays. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All rise and sing our closing song together. We could ever breathe. Oh God, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that as we are filled, we would have the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. And for these good things, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you all for coming today. God bless you. Have a good week. Pray for those you dislike.